Let's turn together in our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, where we find our text. Focus, again, this evening is on the fifth commandment. You shall honor your father and your mother, which is given to us, as we're going to find here in Ephesians 6 as well. And we're going to read the first four verses of Ephesians chapter 6, and that's found on page 1136. But we're also going to be reading from the back of our songbooks from Lord's Day 39 as well in just a moment. Let's read together in our Bibles from Ephesians chapter 6, the first four verses. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And that's as far as we're reading from Ephesians. And then I encourage you to turn the back of your songbooks to Lord's Day 39. We'll do question and answer 104 as a responsive reading. That's page 891 in the back of our songbooks. Lord's Day 39, question and answer 104. Now read the question and let's respond with the answer together. Question and answer 104. What is God's will for you in the fifth commandment? And the answer is, that I show honor, love, and faithfulness to my father and mother and all those in authority over me. Submit myself with proper obedience to all their good teaching and discipline, and also that I be patient with their failings, for by their hand God wills to rule us. That's as far as reading in the Catechism. We pray for God's blessing on the preaching of His Word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to list three events, and I want you to see if you can tell what binds these three events together. What do these three events have in common? The first event is a defund the police march that takes to the streets. The second event is an obstinate high school student that visibly rebels against their teacher. And the third event is a riot that storms the Capitol building in Washington, D.C. What do those three events have in common? The answer is this. They are all an attack on the fifth commandment. Rejecting the police, ridiculing your teachers, and breaking into the Capitol building are each an example from this past year that we've seen on the news where people have undermined, rejected God-appointed authority. So as we come to the fifth commandment, children, obey your parents, honor your father and your mother, we're going to see that this is not a commandment just for our young people. It is not a commandment applied only to little ones before they reach the age of 18. And indeed, after we've seen with each of our Ten Commandments, we are moving now from the first table of the law to the second table of the law. In the first table of the law, we found that we are commanded by God because of the love we have received from God to love God first, to love Him with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love God above all. Now we come to the second table of the law, beginning with the fifth commandment, loving your neighbor as yourself. And when we start thinking about loving our neighbor, it's only proper that we start with those who are closest to us. Who is your closest neighbor? It is those who live under the same roof. So today we are going to see that we are all called to honor those whom God has placed over us, and to recognize God-given authority. Now, children, let me ask you this question. Do you know the first word that you spoke? You remember, children? Maybe your parents have told you. What was the first word that you spoke when you were just a little tyke? Was it perhaps mama or dada? Or was your first word no? That's instructive, isn't it? Children's first words are often mama or dada or no. As soon as we understand as human beings that there is someone in authority who is telling us what we can and cannot do, human nature is to recoil and say no, to reject anyone who's trying to tell me what to do. That happens in little children. And it happens with adults as well. So today we consider this theme, that Jesus Christ commands us to submit and obey those in authority over us because we are children of a heavenly Father. I'll say that again. Jesus Christ commands us to submit and obey those in authority because we are children of our heavenly Father. In our first point, then, we are going to look at a well-known example of children who disobeyed their parents. We read this from 1 Samuel chapter 2. Hophni and Phinehas, those were the two sons of the high priest, raised in the context of holiness, raised in the context of the tabernacle. They were sons of the most high priest. They were tasked with the various duties in the temple. They were priests, close to the Lord and in constant contact with His Word, but they are identified as wicked and worthless men. We read in 1 Samuel 2 that there are five aspects of their lives that proved how wicked and worthless they were. First of all, number one, they were wicked, worthless men. Verse 12 said that they were literally sons of Belial. That's like sons of the devil. That's how wicked and worthless they are. In fact, instead of adding to the spiritual life, they are more like the Antichrist, rejecting the truth and polluting true religion, as we're going to see. Number two, they did not know the Lord. They were irreligious, rebellious. Their hearts remained hardened in their sin, serving at the tabernacle, going through the external function and motion, yet not knowing God, and instead of encouraging right and true worship, they were standing in the way. Number three, they treated the offering with contempt. That's verse 17. Their sin was very great, because not only did it arise from a heart of rebellion, their actions were hindering others from worshiping God. They were stealing from those who wanted to offer their sacrifices. What was happening is they were in person, or they were sending one of their servants to go to those who were offering sacrifices, who were offering either a bull or a lamb or a goat. They were going to those who were offering sacrifices. They were forcibly taking meat for themselves, saying, "We are not going to wait until you offer this as a sacrifice. We're not even going to wait until the fat is burned up. We are coming to you before you can even offer this to God, and we are taking our part. We're taking the best for ourselves." In today's day and age, it would be like a deacon who is collecting money, and as he walks to the back of the church, takes a handful of the cash and stuffs it in his own pocket. That's basically what these men were doing. They were greedy and disrespectful. 3 verse 13 puts it this way: they blasphemed the name of the Lord. Dealing with worship, they were trampling the name of the Lord. But they also not only broke the first table of the law, they broke the second table of the law. Not only were they trampling upon the one true God, His name and His worship, desecrating what should have been holy, they were also mistreating fellow man. Verse 22 says that they were sleeping or laying with the women who served at the tent of meeting. That's 2 verse 22. They used their position of authority as a priest to take advantage of the women who were serving at the temple, committing adultery and sexual perversion at the very context, the doorstep of the temple of God. And finally, not only were they polluting worship so that it looked more like cultic worship and Asherah service, They refused to listen to the rebuke of their own father. That's number 5. In verse 25, they would not heed the voice of their father, but continued to engage in this rampant idolatry and brazen adultery. Their father rebuked them and they brushed it off. "You're an old man, Eli. We don't care what you have to say." This serves as an example of what children ought to never do. And the consequences for these actions, for this fivefold rebellion, is made evident in verse 25. The end of our reading puts it this way: "It was the will of the Lord to put them to death." Their crimes against the first and second table of the law, the rebellion against their father, transgression against their neighbor, and pollution of one true worship, disobeying God, meant that they had forfeited their life. They would be killed, and their line would be snuffed out. This is fulfilled in 1 Samuel 4, verse 11. You probably remember what happens. That's when the Israelites go out to battle and they take the Ark of the Covenant with them, going with the Philistines. The Philistines see the Ark of the Covenant coming with Hophni and Phinehas, the priest there at its side, and they whip themselves. The Philistines whip themselves up into a frenzy. If we don't attack now, the God of the Israelites is going to destroy us. And the Philistines go out and they wipe out the Israelite army. So Hophni and Phinehas forfeit their lives. In fact, as we read in Ephesians, one of the promises or one of the benefits of obeying your father and mother is that it goes well with you and you live long in the land. So the alternative is, if you disobey your parents and you reject the instruction of those in authority, it will not go well with you and you will not live long in the land. But the rebuke is not only applied to these two sons. Our passage also rebukes Eli, the father. Eli was not without fault. Eli is told in 2 verse 29 by the Lord, "Eli, you honor your sons more than you honor me. You think more about your children and their feelings than you do right and true worship." Eli failed to restrain his sons early on in life. Failed to teach, failed to instruct. And when his sons were so wicked and rebellious, Eli failed to not only restrain them, but remove them from office. He let them keep serving in the temple of the Lord, knowing that they were committing adultery and idolatry. Did not remove them from office. But it's even worse than that. Because Eli was even enjoying the fruit of their son's wicked actions. That's 2 verse 29. What was happening is that when Hophni and Phinehas were going and getting these fat, rich portions of food, they were taking it home and Eli was enjoying that food as well. Eli was getting fat off the sins of his sons. Instead of refusing to partake of that sin, he was enjoying the benefits of his son's rebellion. And the consequence is not only Eli's sons, but Eli himself dies on the same day. This is promised in verse 34. Father and son will die. And remember, that's what happened. After that message is brought to Eli at this point in his life, was an overweight elderly man, was sitting on a stool. The message is told to him that the ark has been taken by the Philistines. Your sons have been killed. The Israelites have been defeated. He falls over backwards and breaks his neck. There are consequences for rejecting and rebelling against God-given authority. In fact, as 2 Timothy 3 puts it, in the last days, people will be disobedient to their parents. One of the signs of the end times is people will be disobedient to their parents, rebellious in all their ways. The fifth commandment is unique among the commandments, not only because it's the first and the second table of the law, but woven into the commandment is the grounds for keeping it. Why should we honor our father and mother? Why should we obey those whom God has placed over us? Two reasons. Honor your father and mother because this is right. It is right. It is good. It is proper. God tells us, honor your father and your mother, respects and obey in all things lawful because it is my commandment. I am God. You are creature. Obey those I place over you because I am placing them over you. Do this because it is right, proper, it is good. But not only is it good because God tells us, not only is it necessary because it's a commandment from God, it's also good because it's for our good. The second grounds, reasoning why we should keep this commandment, is given in Ephesians 6. This commandment, the fifth commandment, is given with a promise that it will go well with you, that you will live long in the land in which the Lord is giving you. So not only is it good because by its very nature comes from God and God is good, it is also good because God has woven into this commandment your benefit, your blessings in this life and in the next when you learn to keep this commandment. Hophni and Phinehas learned that when you reject and you rebel and you disobey those leaders, your father, your life is cut short. But God's people should take this promise to heart. It will go well with you, and you will be blessed. Now, this is not an absolute, but rather a general principle and normative promise. It is not to say that everyone who keeps this commandment will live to be 120 years old. That is not what this commandment is saying. It is saying that it will go well with you and your life will be blessed in the land in which you live. To obey your parents, children, to obey your parents sets you out on a path of blessing in this life. When you learn in the context of the home to identify, to submit to, and to obey authority, you have a proper good trajectory when you leave the home. What I mean is this. If you don't learn to listen to, identify, and submit and obey authority in the home, when you leave the home, you are in for a world of trouble. If you can't learn to submit and obey to your parents in the home, what happens when you get to school? What happens when you get to church? What happens when you're pulled over by a police officer? All of these areas are directly connected to your foundation in the home. Your life will be better. You will seek the wisdom of your elders. Your conscience will be clear, and you will avoid the sword of the law. You'll avoid the penalty of being a law breaker. But not only is it better for you in this life, it will be better for you in the world to come. Because when you learn to obey in the home, you are learning to humble yourselves. A submissive, obedient child is one that says, I don't know all the answers. I am not self-sufficient, all-powerful, and all-knowing. I am a child that needs to be led, needs to be instructed, needs to be cared for, needs to be protected, needs to be guided and instructed. I don't have all the answers. God has given me human advisors, parents, pastors, elders, teachers, who will teach and train and instruct me, and they will teach me in the way that I should go. Because if I'm left to myself, if my parents just let me do whatever I want, and I live my life doing whatever I want, I'm going to be sowing to the wind and reaping the whirlwind. Mankind, by nature, is rebellious, stubborn, and obstinate. When you learn in the home to humble yourselves, you are learning one of the traits that is necessary in the Christian life. Submitting to your parents at an early stage, you are learning to submit to God, who placed your parents over you. So we could say that as we learn in the fifth commandment in the context of the home, we are learning about order and authority, which sets us on the path to learning from God about the world to come. Submission to authority is acknowledging that God is the God who has set this world in motion. To rebel and reject against that God-given authority is to rebel and reject the very fabric into which you have been woven. Now, when we look at this particular commandment, the first thing that should strike us all is how every one of us here has fallen short. Thinking back to your own childhood, can you say that you honored and obeyed your parents at all time? I can think of particular situations very clearly in my mind when I did not honor and I did not obey my parents. So when this commandment comes to us and says, you need to honor your father and mother, well, the first thing that this should do is humble us. Lord, I have not kept your commandments. I cannot say I have kept your law from my youth. By nature, I'm a little rebel. I needed the sword of discipline. I needed the rod of discipline. Because I, by nature, was going my own way. And my parents loved me enough to drive foolishness from my heart because it's bound there. So we humble ourselves and then we rejoice in the fact that there was a son who was sent, who was perfect from his childhood. Jesus Christ. Luke 2, submitted to his earthly parents. And Matthew 28, submitted to the will of his Father in heaven. The good news that we have is this. We are all sons and daughters of disobedience. We all broke this commandment. But Jesus Christ kept, perfectly obeyed this commandment all his life. And unlike these rebellious priests that we read about a few minutes ago, Jesus Christ, by his perfect and active obedience, kept those laws, kept the commandments, and secured for us perfect righteousness. In fact, Jesus Christ has secured for us the right to be called children of God. Jesus Christ has secured for us the adoption so that we are now brought into a new family. We are no longer in the family of Satan, children of the father of lies and death. We are now children of the father of light and life. Being brought into a new home is why we are so concerned with this commandment. We want to honor and obey those God has placed over us because we are in the family of God. We are adopted in the blood of Jesus Christ. So by the blood of Jesus Christ, we are now in the family of God. And by His Spirit, we are now being turned, molded, fashioned, renewed. Every one of us here, as the Spirit dwells within us, we are being turned from little rebellious kids that shake our fist and say no to obedient sons and daughters of God that say, yes, Lord, your will be done. That's where we're going. That's the kind of transition that is taking place in the hearts and lives of God's people. We are all turning from those little rebellious children that one of their first words says no, into mature sons and daughters of God that say, not my will, not my desires, not my wants, your will be done. That's where we're going. And that's the blessings we have of belonging to a new family. Well, now that we've considered barely, we've looked at this negative example given to us here, we move in our second point to apply this commandment to our lives. So as we've looked at each one of these commandments, there is a negative and a positive aspect. As God's people, we learn to say no to disobedience. We put to death the sins that remain, and we come alive in the image of Christ. We say yes to obedience. So the Spirit is teaching us to identify our sins and to put those sins to death. So what are the sort of things that we as sons and daughters of God will learn to say no to? Well, very briefly, we will learn to say no to rebellion. We will learn to say no to pride. We will learn to say no to pursuing what we want. It's often true that the seeds of rebellion that grow and blossom into a noxious weed later on in life can be identified early in the home. As God's people, particularly as parents, we need to start instructing our children young in the way that they should go. Now, that's not to say that if you do everything right as a parent, your child will turn out perfectly. That's not how it works. But as Christian parents, we are instructed to teach our children young in the way that they should go. We need to teach our children that it is not okay to reject, to rebel, to talk back against your father and mother. It is not okay for you to disobey mommy and daddy. That's not okay. You cannot do whatever you want. Parents, we need to teach our children to not be disrespectful, obstinate, or rude. We need to address not only sins of the hand, but sins of the mouth and sins of the heart. But more than that, we need to set good examples. We look around us, we can see we live in a world that rejects authority in almost every single realm. Parents have no authority in the home. Elders and pastors have no authority within the church. Police officers have no authority on the roads. There's just simply no authority that is respected today. As Christians, we do not go along with this. And for the sake of our children, we need to set a good example. Although we can all say, and we can identify this when we read the news, we see children that are treating their parents more like their slaves than their elders that are over them. But we also see parents that set a terrible example for their children. As parents, you need to be careful what we say and what we do, because it is no more acceptable to disrespect police, and it is no more acceptable to slander our elected officials, and it is no more acceptable to ignore the instruction of the officers within the church than it is for a parent to rebel against their child, for a child to rebel against their parents in the home. We need to be careful what kind of example we are setting for our children and how we speak about, speak to, and interact with the various levels of authority. And as we get older, as children grow up and move outside of the home, the call to honor and respect your parents does not expire. Far too often in our present day and age in society, what we see is this. We find aged parents sitting in an old home, neglected by their families, cast aside by society. This is one of the clearest ways that when it comes to the aging population of the United States, how we as a church can show that we have a different view of our elders and a different respect for our parents. that we do not neglect our parents when they become old. Yes, it becomes more difficult. It becomes more difficult in a lot of ways, and I've heard this and I've seen this in a lot of ways, as your parents grow older, as they become physically frail or mentally frail or emotionally dependent, that the child is taking on many of the duties that a parent once had to do. But Scripture says, we're repaying our parents. For all that your parents did for you when you were a child, when they had to feed you and clean you and clothe you and provide for you, now you get a chance to repay them when they become older and they become dependent on you. In this way, we can show the world that we still, as our parents get older, still honor and respect them instead of abandoning them and forsaking them. One of the examples given in the book of Exodus is as the Israelites were brought out of the wilderness. Remember how they spoke to Moses and Aaron? Remember how they grumbled and complained? They were rebellious, hard-hearted, and stiff-necked. They complained against God's appointed leaders. How did God respond to that? How did God view that? When the Israelites were complaining against Moses and Aaron, how did God view that? He viewed that as an attack on his authority, as an abuse of his name. So to disobey lawful authority, to ridicule those who are over you, is to reject the God who is the God of order and authority. It's not pleasing in the sight of the Lord. Rather, we are to pursue obedience. And here we come to our last point. In society, whether you are young or old, whatever realm or context you find yourself, we are to seek to live quiet, decent, law-abiding lives for the sake of our conscience, for the sake of our witness, and to avoid the sword of punishment for the honor and glory of our God. Particularly as Christians, we need to be dedicated to honoring those whom God has placed over us. And that's what we find in question and answer 104. What does it mean to keep the fifth commandment? And this is the answer, that we honor, that we love, and we be faithful to our parents and to all those whom God has placed over us. Whatever realm. In the home, in the school, in the workplace, in the church, in society as a whole, honor, love, faithfulness, submitting to God-given authority. And how are we to obey them? Ephesians 6, verse 1 puts it this way. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Very important phrase. Obey your parents in the Lord. In what manner are we to obey our parents? In what manner are we to obey those who are over us? In what manner are we to obey our boss at work? In the Lord. Is it a part of your Christian identity, a part of your service to the one true God? How you obey, why you obey, is part of your identity. You are a child of God in the household of the Heavenly Father. Obeying your parents, children, is your spiritual duty. It is how you honor God, is by you honoring your parents. It's a religious task. It's part of your obedience and submission to the Lord. You see, the first and the second table of the law are so intimately connected.